Whether it be Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies. Ow! We're breaking down the teams you're passionate about.
Thank you.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty kicking off your noon hour right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Time to talk some more college football. Chip Patterson from CBS Sports, kind enough to join us. Chip, how are you?
Hey, Chip.
I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. BYU fans are a little grumpy out here. Do you think they have a reason to be grumpy?
Without a doubt. You know, because the goalposts get moved by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee week to week, and sometimes it seems like within the same rankings release show. I was wondering whether or not we would see a response from the committee to the blowback that was happening all across the country for BYU's low ranking. And I almost feel like, and I don't know if you guys would agree with this or not, but I almost feel like that was the stubborn response to the response, where now the committee's just going to dig its heels in. And, you know, unless we see a late game get added to the schedule, unless we see some sort of scheduling magic, like, man, it does not look good for BYU to be able to even get up in, like, the position where it could take an at-large. Because I think that was always where I was with the Cougars, where, you know, I think the committee has shown its biases for the power conferences and the power conference teams and programs. But, you know, without being a member of the Group of Five, I knew it was so important to be able to have a high college football playoff ranking, even if you're not in the top four, so that you can get one of those at-large spots in the group of in the New Year's Six. And so to continue to have the Cougars down where they are, it's making even that path look a little bit more difficult, and that's frustrating. So I think BYU fans have every bit of reason to be frustrated with the way that team is being treated in the rankings.
We got to go through another week of rankings without BYU playing. So coming up next Tuesday, 6 days from today, and then they get a chance against San Diego State. So taking that into consideration, another weekend without a game and another ranking, and then let's say they beat San Diego State handily by 20-plus points. What just kind of project for us? Is there any movement there? Is there any way that they can change the committee's mind just based off of what they currently have scheduled?
I think that based on what they currently have scheduled, it is only going to be a matter of other teams potentially taking losses, though 20 points might not be enough, even though San Diego State, Brady Hoke's done a great job, quality program, we know that. But I think that it would need to be something along the lines of, You might not need to Navy opener win it, but you're going to need to put up some big numbers there. And sort of within this same conversation is I would love to be able to see Zach Wilson in New York City as a Heisman Trophy contender. And you only get three spots on the ballot as a Heisman voter. And when you look at the kind of season that Mac Jones is having at Alabama, that Kyle Trask is having at Florida, and their teammates, Devonta Smith at wide receiver, Kyle Pitts at tight end for Florida, you know, all of a sudden you're starting to run out of spots. And so some kind of eye-popping result is probably what it's going to take to be able to have any kind of significant movement up. But again, to answer your question, when it comes to projection, the schedule as it is, without a game added on December 5th, and it's too late for me to expect that that's going to happen, and without a game added on December 19th on that conference championship Saturday, then I do think the Cougars are in a position where you're just basically rooting for the teams above you to lose.
Wow. You know, when you look across the landscape, and there's obviously games that are being canceled and postponed right and left, it seems like you're a little pessimistic that BYU could add something this week. Do you think there's the chances are pretty slim at this point of the week, as it's now Wednesday?
Yeah, it's the fact that it's already Wednesday. Now, I will say, the Pac-12 has shown us what's possible, right?
Yeah.
Like in terms of how quickly you can throw this together. So, you know, if if they're able to get on the phone and if they're able to put something together for this weekend, I think every single data point is going to matter. And if you've got a big number in that win column, even if you're what do they call it now in the college football playoff, strength of record, like, yeah, no matter what your strength of schedule metric is, if you've got a big number there, it's going to be awfully tough to ignore. And so I'm looking, I'm curious, I'm very interested to see if the Cougars end up adding someone else to the schedule, because the more games, in my mind, as well as BYU has played, is going to equal the more wins. And the more wins, you're going to see BYU match or get closer to matching their spot in the major polls. And that's what's frustrating, right? Because the polls are saying one thing. You know, I run the CBS Sports 127, our own ranking of all 127 FBS teams. We've got BYU right there at number 7. You know, like, the polls, you know, all these other voting bodies seem to have a top 10 opinion of the Cougars, and the selection committee is really digging its heels in, and that's where it's frustrating, because it is the selection committee's opinion, not ours, that's going to decide what the postseason future is for that team.
The committee sure seems to respect Cincinnati's schedule. I know that they got that SMU win, and SMU just had a loss over the weekend. Last weekend. I know they got the Central Florida win, but what is it that makes Cincinnati such a solid lock at number 6 or 7 in that college football playoff committee's mind?
They must have a much higher opinion of UCF than I do, and they must have a much higher opinion of the American Athletic Conference, you know, even without putting a lot of American Athletic Conference teams in the top 25. And that's normally something I'm looking for, is down there in the 20s, who are the teams that have losses to teams near the top, where it almost feels like they're anchoring their position right there. The only thing that I cannot speak for the committee's specific opinions on Cincinnati, but I do think that Cincinnati is a little bit of a project that has some carryover. You're asked to evaluate a team just based on this season and based on the results of this season. But this has been a couple years in the making of really consistent double-digit win, conference championship contention for Cincinnati. And it does feel like this is the most well-rounded team. You know, for the 2 years prior, Luke Fickell, former defensive coach, had a defense that was, you know, playing at a very, very high level. Now it feels like they've rounded it out, and they were playing some of their best football of the season over the last couple of weeks. So Cincinnati looks like a really good football team, and they play really, really well. And I'm not connecting Cincinnati to BYU here. I'm just giving you my own eye test, and I can't speak for the committee on why they would, from a strength of schedule perspective, have those two teams so far apart. But, I mean, I'll go back. I know what our votes are. We've got Cincinnati and BYU in the top 10 because I think that on a down-to-down and a game-to-game basis, these are complete teams on both sides of the ball. They play defense, got game-changing quarterbacks. I do not know why the committee is so low on the Cougars.
Hmm. So let's talk about some of the other teams. It seems as if Kirk Herbstreit got himself in a little bit of a firestorm, saying that Michigan's trying to essentially dodge Ohio State. Do you believe that's the case, or do you think it's just COVID issues and that's why Michigan may not be able to play that game?
I strongly do not believe it. First, because I think that flies in the face of sort of the identity and culture of that Michigan program. They might have been falling short of expectations for winning Big Ten championships and beating Ohio State, but they've been pretty much the same team and the same program all throughout. I mean, even during the pandemic, Big Ten announces that it's going to be shutting things down. Jim Harbaugh kept holding practice, and he had an approach that was very much like, we'll play anybody, anywhere. You know, he was, you know, all about the competition. And I do think that there's something about, you know, I make a lot of fun of the Michigan man and what a Michigan man should be, and Michigan men have integrity. But it's because there is some truth to that, at least in terms of its identity and its culture. I don't think it falls in line at all with Michigan tanking a game to try and hurt Ohio State. That is far closer to the tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist Ohio State fan than it is to the Michigan man. And so I don't believe it. And I was a little bit disappointed that it got a little reckless, because that's barroom conversation. That is group chat conversation. That is, you know, that you're just playing around because it makes for fun jokes. And to have that be in the first 15 minutes of the program that reveals the college football playoff rankings, I think it did a real disservice to the discourse.
Do we have any conference realignment or conference conversations coming up in the near future?
Not at the major level. I do think that some of the financial windfall, as programs are still reeling from the effects of losing things in the spring, limited or no action in the fall, based on some of, and I haven't reported this out thoroughly, but based on some of the feelers that I've been able to pick up on, there might be in outside of the FBS, but still in Division I, we might be seeing some conference realignment. But I don't foresee there being anything among the Power Five conferences coming up soon.
What about TV contracts for any of the Power Five conferences? I thought it was 20. Was that 2024? That
the playoff comes up in 26.
Okay.
That'll be the end of 12 years of the college football playoff. And that's when you start to talk about, are they going to expand the playoff? I believe they will not expand the playoff before this first 12-year deal runs out. And some of that is just because they're stubborn, and some of that is just because it's easier to maintain the path that you set in place when you signed this contract from the get-go. You think about the rotations of the semifinals as it moves through the New Year's six into 12. That's one of the reasons why this 12-year contract was laid out the way it was. I would entertain some kind of expansion potentially then. In terms of conference contracts, there are new deals that are going to be coming in place, I think, for the SEC at the end of 24. The ACC is currently locked into its deal through 2036, and I do not know what the next window looks like for the Big Ten or the Big 12. But I don't think that there's going to be major conference realignment at the power conference level, because the messaging that I seem to be receiving is that it's all about stability. Like, we've just gone, the landscape has just been shaken by the pandemic. And so everybody's just trying to, hold everything down, put the pieces back together, and be able to plow ahead and move forward. It's not going to be for a couple more years before I think we would see another, major conference realignment shift.
Is there a big gap between Alabama and Clemson, or do you think they're relatively close?
It's not big. And here's what made me remember, because I was all in on Alabama on the top tier. Then we take a step down, but a player named Tyler Davis, defensive tackle, sophomore defensive tackle, played really, really well as a freshman. Might have been a freshman All-American too last year. He's been out since I think maybe the second or third game of the season. He had his first game back, and what did he do in his first game back? Gets his paw up and deflects a pass that turns into an interception. He was just absolutely in Kenny Pickett's face all day against Pittsburgh, showing why he is one of their best players. And they've been playing without him. Now, they've had five-star freshman Brian Brzee, former number one overall prospect, five-star freshman Miles Murphy, got a lot more run because players like Tyler Davis were hurt. But now he comes back, and you're like, oh, that's right. That projected starter is one of the reasons why Clemson started the year, as the number one team in the country. At the linebacker position, James Skalski, the quarterback of the defense, was not there for the Notre Dame game. So it wasn't just Trevor Lawrence that was missing a lot of time. There have been key players on the defensive side of the football that have been missing time. And as they are starting to get healthy, then I just I'm reminded of, you know, the way that Clemson plays down here in the stretch of the season. And Dabo Swinney and his staff have figured out better than anybody else in the country what the rhythm of that full 15-game college football playoff schedule looks like. They play a lot of players early in the season to work on their depth. They don't rush players back from injury until they're 100% ready. It is the luxury of having a talented roster like they do. But then when they set foot on the field in December, they're the best versions of themselves. So their starters back and healthy, and the players who are backing them up have all that experience from September and October. So I'm going to say the gap is closing, but based on the results, I still think that Alabama is sort of my undisputed number one.
Chip, I really wanted to talk to you about the bowl situation that we currently have and how that might affect BYU as well. If BYU isn't allowed into the New Year's Six and one of those 12 teams, we've seen now 9 bowl games cancel, 3 of them Pac-12 affiliate and 4 of them ACC affiliate. And so you've got these locked-in bowls where teams like Boston College or Arizona State or Virginia Tech or, you know, you go down the list, these ACC teams that'll be without a home. And now they're, you know, as these bowls slim down, they're going to be looking for those opponents. Who does BYU remain still more appealing than, let's say, I guess would be like a 8-4 Boston College team or maybe a 7-5 Virginia team? Is BYU still going to be more appealing because people are projecting them in the New Mexico Bowl in Frisco, Texas? And other bad end bowls, or do you think one of these, you know, bigger second tier bowls will take a chance on them?
The problem that you're going up against is that these bowl games have relationships with the conferences, and those relationships with the conferences play such a huge role in the decision making. And I just don't know how many of these conferences are going to be excited to see their spot given up, because remember, we don't have any bowl eligibility at all, right? So even if a team is, because I could see a few of these teams declining bowl invitations. We might not hear about it right away, but I could see a coaching staff look at the state of their team, the health of their team, and just think, like, you know what, we need to be able to move on and focus on next year. I'm not saying that I know it will happen. I'm predicting that maybe behind the scenes, some teams and some coaches and some athletic directors will decide that, in this year, maybe we won't go. And it's probably somebody who's got a 3-6 team who's getting invited because they exist in a conference that has a relationship with these bowl games. I think that BYU is without a doubt the number one at-large sort of free agent if any bowl game is freed from their conference responsibilities. BYU, because of its national draw, because of the television audience that you would get, and yes, because we don't have the same tourism and ticket sales angles, though BYU might be great at those too, but to me, when I'm looking at the bowl games and the bowl season, it is all going to be about how many viewers can you have for your game, because that is increased exposure for your title sponsor, and BYU is going to draw a national set of eyeballs on them in the bowl season. But again, those same decision makers who would be attracted to BYU also have long-standing, in some cases, relationships with conferences, and those conferences are going to be invested in getting as many teams into bowl games as possible. So since, you know, 6-6, that limitation is out the window, since a team could be invited. I mean, they could invite like a 2-loss or a 2-win team from a conference to go play in a bowl game because there's no bowl eligibility rules. So BYU is attractive. They should be the number one team on the board should any second tier, as you mentioned, bowl game be freed from its conference responsibilities. But my gut says that those conference relationships are so important and the conferences are going to be so driven to get their as many of their teams into bowl games as possible that that's going to end up taking the first priority.
Pac-12 was always behind the eight ball in trying to get a team into the playoff, and I think Oregon State probably put the nail in the coffin there. Is if Washington goes undefeated, do you think they have a shot at all, or is it just there's no way on this green earth Pac-12's getting into that thing?
I'm not going to say no way on this green earth, but Washington is certainly the last hope right there. And if we're betting on it, I'm definitely betting the answer's no. And if I had to set odds, I would make it like no minus 200. Like, it would definitely be like an overwhelming lean to the no side of things. But, you know, it's tough because you want to be able to give analysis too, because I really like the way that Washington has looked. You know, that they were thumping Arizona, and Arizona put on some fourth quarter garbage time points, made that game look closer than it was. They just totally had control, like just didn't even allow any points in the second half. I forgot which game it was. But like, Jimmy Lake's done a good job. He's got a tough and physical football team. They're probably not going to make it to the college football playoff, but I do think that the way that Washington has looked this season is incredibly encouraging, because last year's Washington looked like it had taken a step back. Chris Peterson steps aside, resigns, retires. Jimmy Lake takes over. It looks like this Huskies team is starting to snap back to the way the form that we saw from that program when they were in control of that division. So they lost it to Oregon. And so one of my big sort of notes from the Pac-12 this season is that the Oregon-Washington rivalry, like if you had put Oregon ahead of Washington based on last year, Oregon's move up is worth acknowledging, but I think Washington is right back to where it was. And that's a good thing for the Pac-12 to be able to have two teams at least that are there in that North Division, both in the top 25. But no, I do not think that the Pac-12 with Washington or USC will end up in the college football playoff.
Well, hey, we appreciate your time. Great insight. And look forward to catching up with you again here very soon.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
You as well. That is Chip Patterson from CBS Sports, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Good stuff.
The bowl situation is ominous.
Yes.
For BYU, and what's going to happen if they're not given an at-large, how far they'll tumble. Because like he said, you do have affiliations that you're not going to screw up, because you don't want a conference to say, well, screw that bowl, we'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so bowls that are locked in to a conference affiliation are going to honor that and have probably more selection to honor with now that nine bowl games are currently gone, expecting probably more.
Yeah. All right, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, Jonathan Reinhart, Andrew Reinhart, kind enough to join us right here on the Zone Sports Network. It's been a while since I've screwed that up. Jonathan's a good friend of ours. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing well. All right, so let's talk a little bit about a lot of issues that plague men that lead to ED. You mentioned prostate, diabetes. Those are two of the biggest ones, correct?
Yeah, we see that. Maybe high cholesterol. But then what's kind of interesting is a totally healthy guy will walk through the door. He's 35 years old, 30 years old, whatever, and he's got erectile dysfunction. I think there's so many things that can lead to ED. The blood vessels in this part of the body are tiny, tiny to begin with. When you're 20 years old, and as we age, as we live the American lifestyle, things get clogged up, and the blood flow just can't get through like it used to. That is what our treatments address. They repair damaged blood vessels. It's called acoustic wave therapy. And even Cambridge released a study after a bunch of guys went through the treatment, our exact technology, by the way. They said in their words, all men experienced an increase in blood flow. That's pretty incredible. That's what erectile dysfunction is. It's a blood flow problem, so you don't need the pill anymore. You don't need injections. You don't need surgery.
And again, those are the three things you want to hear when you're talking about down there. No pills. And the side effects of the pills. I mean, guys have probably, there's been some guys that have been on that thing for decades now, and you become immune to it. That means you have to take more, which means the side effects are worse, and that's just a no-win situation.
That's exactly right. They can tell you all about the headaches and the blurred vision and the lack of spontaneity. You know, you want things to work in the bedroom on demand. And as far as I know, the technology at Wasatch Medical Clinic is the only thing that addresses the root cause problem of erectile dysfunction. So you do get that spontaneity back.
801-901-8000. And of course, take advantage of that free assessment. 801-901-8000. The assessment's free. The conversation with the doctor is free. 801-901-8000 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hans and Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone. In the Zone Sports Network. Spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
There's a theme to the wheel today, Scotty.
Oh, really?
Yes. The theme is keeping it wheel positive today. That's a play on the word real, but we're keeping it wheel positive today.
Come on, there's got to be like a wah, wah,
There's a lot of positive stories on the wheel today.
That's wheel stupid, is what you're saying right now.
That was funny.
What was funny?
Scotty,
you better say
Scotty's
both.
Was funny.
Both
was
were
dumb.
Funny. If you're going to say his horrible
his
comment.
Was funny because he's taking a shot at your stupid thing. Yours is so bad it doesn't even deserve a sounder.
Well, this isn't wheelie positive at all.
Go to break.
I was expecting this to be really fun.
Will you spin the wheel?
Lasorda on the mend.
Tommy Lasorda is getting better, guys. The LA Dodgers legend, 93-year-old. Is out of the ICU and he's making a recovery.
Speaking about a guy that was behind the wheel.
Former Major League Baseball manager was admitted with heart issues back in early November. He was put in the ICU. He was put on a ventilator, and everybody thought that this was kind of the end for him. Well, Scotty, he's off the ventilator. He's out of the ICU, and he's been on phone calls with his buddies.
Wow.
He's calling his friends. He's calling his family. He's been having conversations, and it's looking like he's on the mend. He hasn't left the hospital yet, but
yeah.
To have a man that age come off the ventilator and continue to feel better, that's pretty incredible.
What a relief. That's great.
He's going to keep doing this?
He started it.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, and your one was funny. It was like a shot at him. That was great. And then you're just going to keep going?
At least Lloyd's being fair at the anger he's dishing out. Well, there's one positive story. There's multiple on there. Do you want to try it again?
All right, spin it.
Some great news from Fauci.
Did you hear Dr. Fauci announce that in September he expects football stadiums to be at capacity?
Nice. Let's go.
He was asked about NFL stadiums in general being safely at full capacity next September. His exact quote, Scotty, "Oh, that's possible. I think that's possible." So he feels like there's a chance that we've got 60,000 fans packing into these stadiums come next September. And it's just kind of, you'll be able to take a little bit of a breath, a little bit of a deep breath. It's, Lloyd and I were talking about this. We were walking in from the parking lot today, and just the complete reorganization of things and how different things are and how difficult things are for people right now. There was a 300% increase in request for food assistance through the holidays so far in the state of Utah alone.
That's just heartbreaking.
300% increase. And so it's just hard because it's like everything feels upside down and it's just difficult. And anything that gives us a glimpse into a possible recovery as a society from this thing that has just ravished us is a great thing for me. And just to hear Dr. Fauci say, oh, that's possible. I think that's possible. 60,000 fans in a stadium come September, that's possible. Man, that gives me so much hope. So much hope.
Well, if we get that vaccine, I think that most people will. I think I read something the other day that most people, anybody who wants the vaccine, will have access to it by June, July, at the latest. Maybe even a couple of months earlier than that. So by that rationale, yeah. Now let me ask you this. This may be getting a little political. If you're a college football team or you're an NFL team, do you make somebody show a proof of vaccination before they're allowed into the stadium?
I don't think so. Not by that time. I think enough time has passed, and we'll see how many people accept it and how many people go out and get it. But, you know, if you see certain numbers in states jump in vaccinations, I think you can assume that you're taking care of it by way. What do they say? If you vaccinate or if you have 20%?
Oh, I thought that was like 60, 70% to get herd immunity.
I thought it was 20, but I could be way off on that. Let's say it is 60%. Let's say you just watch the numbers really close. But yeah. No, I don't think so. I think come September, I don't think so. Maybe they do. He did kind of put a damper on seeing 20,000 people in arenas for the NBA season. And he said, I don't expect that.
That's tough to do. That's quick. And because, you know, you're looking at playoffs, you know, I don't know, maybe NBA finals, you might be able to.
Maybe.
But, you know,
how great would that be?
March, April, May is still probably a bit too soon to be able to cram 20,000 into a basketball arena. Hands and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Do we have any more? Or should we?
There's like 10 more positives.
But I feel like what's happened, we just need to move away from this.
Yeah, we just need to recover. Hey, really quick, though, before we go to break, I wanted to ask you. So you went to the new Salt Lake City airport?
I did.
What did you think of it?
It is incredibly beautiful. It is really well done. There's a Shake Shack right there when you walk in. Yeah.
Like when you walk in or you check through the gate?
Oh, check through the gate. When you get through security, when you walk in, there's a Shake Shack right there.
Okay.
It is really big. And I would say, I would tell you, anybody's making a trip, make sure you bring your walking shoes. Because that airport's made for walking. And that's just what you're going to do in that thing.
You're going to move around a little bit?
There's a lot of walking.
But it's nice, huh?
Oh, yeah. Super nice.
Do you think eventually this is going to lead to lower flight costs here in Salt Lake?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Because, man, you look at flights out of L.A. or you look at flights out of Vegas, and everything's more affordable out of those two areas all the time. It'd be nice to see some Salt Lake City flights gain a little more.
They made that much bigger and it's that much walking. How come there's no shuttle system then?
Not that I could see.
You know, kind of like the Denver airport?
Oh, yeah. No, or like McCarran down in Vegas.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You'd have something like that.
You're
going to make it bigger.
I don't know. Maybe eventually that's down the line. I know this is just phase one, and there's several phases still to come. One thing, though, like I usually park off-site. Like there's a, you know, like those little services that'll take you over there
like
in the shuttle.
Rental.
Yeah. Yep. And where they drop you off, where they used to pick you up, you know, let's say you checked a bag. You grab your bag, you walk 30 feet out of the out of that terminal, and the shuttle service is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you got to walk quite a ways from your shuttle to where you check in, and then when you get your bags and you get your shuttle back to your car, it's a bit of a hike.
It's a bit, huh?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be taking a trip next year, and I
stop it.
There it is. It's December. I always wait for that.
You know, my vacation.
Always December.
I'm not taking a vacation until next year.
So I'm going to be in that airport next year, Scott.
You're that guy. You're that guy.
How was the masking and check through and all that? How was all that?
Oh, yeah. Like, you got to be masked up, and they're pretty serious about that stuff.
Because I know it's going to be a bit. It's not till next year, but.
Okay. By the way, you guys are fortunate because you guys don't wear glasses. I wear glasses. When I wear that mask, it fogs up my glasses.
Oh, does it?
Terribly. Especially if I got to walk a little ways.
You need that little device that Navin invented off of the jerk.
Yes. The new phone book?
Yeah.
No, not the new phone book. Oh. The eyeglass holder. So you can pull those glasses out off your nose. You remember that?
I wish I didn't.
1244, Anz and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Are you surprised with the number of turnovers?
I'm disgusted with it. Not surprised, disgusted. We have to do a much better job of taking care of the football.
There's Andy Ludwig, Utah offensive coordinator.
Disgusted with the turnovers. 9 of them in 2 games, even if you write off the Hail Mary against USC, or even the late pick at Washington, that's still 7. If you average 3.5, 4, 4.5 turnovers a game, you are going to have a long season, even if it's a short season.
Oh, man, you're philosophically poetic there.
Thank you.
That was
Thank you
very deep. Much. They're old. Always an issue. I understand that Ludwig would be disgusted. It's probably the best word that he could use under the circumstances.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Thanks for making us part of your day. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Rudy Gobert. Jazz training camp rolls on as we get you ready for the start of the season. I honestly thought the schedule would be released yesterday. It was not.
What are they doing?
I don't know. I think TV's networks are getting their paws on it and negotiating games and those things. So I don't know. I really thought we'd have it by now. So,
well,
your guess is as good as mine.
They did leak the Christmas schedule.
Yep. And there has been some leaks of the opening night schedule too on the 22nd. And I've not seen the Jazz show up on there. So it wouldn't surprise me to see if the Jazz start on the 23rd, maybe not the 22nd. But the first preseason game, hey, we're just what about a week and a half away from that on the 12th.
NBA Christmas Day, here you go. Pelicans at the Heat. So you got Zion yep. versus last year's finals team.
Okay.
Warriors at the Bucks. So Steph Curry back on the court against the Greek Freak. Nets at the Celtics. That one doesn't matter. Mavericks at the Lakers. Yes, please. Luka Doncic versus that new Lakers crew on Christmas night. That ought to be a lot of fun. And then Clippers at the Nuggets. I'll take that game as well. That's a really nice Christmas night lineup. Now, no Jazz was mentioned, and that was kind of a bummer because it had been fun to have a Jazz Christmas. But
should give us Jazz Nuggets. That series was like the best.
Yeah. That really is. But
you know what, though? In thoughts of our guy Jake Scott and some of the other people, like
that was exactly what I was thinking.
I'm okay, no Jazz game on Christmas.
Let Jake spend that Christmas day with that sweet Sadie.
Yes,
you know Jake's the only one that got a kid that's sweet out of all of us here on staff.
I'd say Austin's daughter. She appears to be quite. I've not met her.
Okay, so I haven't heard.
Hey, Xavier rocks.
I haven't heard.
He's
Austin.
Cool. He just turned 6, by the way.
Can you believe
turned
that?
Turned 6 yesterday.
Isn't it crazy how fast time goes? They're fun at the age of
6. Crazy to think you've been married for 3 years, too.
6 is a really fun
You're proud
age.
Of yourself, aren't you?
Wait, I'm trying to do the math here.
We just celebrated our 2-year anniversary, I think.
Okay, so you were married in May.
The math isn't important. Our love is more important.
Okay.
Your 14-year courtship. Hey, I do have a question. Is she who you thought she was before you married her?
Things have changed.
So the 14 years didn't give you
a real good
feel for what it would all be about?
Yeah, and then when you add a kid in there, it's real different.
Oh, man. That's so funny.
Wish I would have known.
Maybe we wouldn't have gotten back from Nebraska as fast as we did.
I said, hey, slow it up, Hans. We don't need to do 100 at 3 in the morning.
There was other reasons that we needed to get back.
Oh, I know.
Like a moth to the scent. Did you know that moths...
Wait a minute. Do they smell?
Yeah.
I thought it was like light.
No. Moths, there is a couple of types of moths that travel miles, like thousands of miles off of these scents to get to this area to do their thing.
To hang out.
Their bidding.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like the salmon of the Capistrano. I believe.
Or hands to a
get
McRib.
To know one another.
Yeah, to get to know one another. You know, one of those parties where you leave your keys in a...
A linger longer.
Fishbowl. What did you say?
A linger longer.
It's like a church dance.
Yep.
Speed dating. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Where were we going with any of this?
We were going to... I think we were doing math. I think we were...
Or the jazz season.
Well, and I said, Jazz Nuggets would be a cool game. And you said, well, not on Christmas, but...
Oh, and then Sadie. And yeah. Okay, all right.
Which I agree.
Got a lot of layers to backtrack.
I'm just saying that would have been a good season opener for the Jazz.
That would have been
the
nice.
23rd.
Yes. So I don't know. I really, if I would have been asked to put some money down, I would have put a lot of money that the Jazz schedule or the NBA schedule was going to be released yesterday. I got to imagine it'll either be today or tomorrow. Like, I can't imagine it'll be any later. Teams need to make preparations. And if you think that teams have it and are sitting on it for a few days, not necessarily the case. Oh, what is that?
That's a moth. Read that headline.
I don't know. You got a pop-up that...
Can you get that pop-up off there?
I'm trying.
A male moth can smell a female moth 7 miles away.
Wow. It's a stinky female.
No, well... I don't know if that's the case as much as I think that moths put out odors, you know. It's not like the female moth isn't like have good showering habits. You know, they just put out a pretty heavy odor, apparently.
7 miles away.
Though they lack noses, moths are expert sniffers. They detect odor molecules using their antenna instead of through their nostrils. Male giant silkworm moths have elaborate feather-shaped antenna with hair-like scent receptors that allow them to detect a single molecule of a female moth sex hormone from 7 miles away.
This will be very easy to transition to Andrew Reinhardt.
I can smell a McRib from almost 2.5 miles away. Now, I don't know. I could probably smell a McRib from legitimately 20 feet. If it's in the middle of the room sitting, 20 feet. And I guarantee I'd get to it before the moth did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with that, let's bring in Andrew Reinhardt, 801-901-8000. Make that phone call. Andrew, how you doing?
I don't know what I missed. I'm doing good.
Oh, you're coming in right. It's actually somewhat appropriate right now. So if you are a guy who has had some struggles and need to get it taken care of, and you know what, you've used the pill, needles and surgery don't appeal to you at all. You got it taken care of for him, right?
We got it taken care of. If you are frustrated in the bedroom, this could be erectile dysfunction. It could be the frequency is down, a whole host of issues. If you're frustrated in the bedroom, that is what Wasatch Medical Clinic does. We use acoustic wave therapy, really easy 10-minute treatments that open up gently blood vessels so that when the timing is right in the bedroom, things work like they should. We have helped thousands of couples. And I say couples because erectile dysfunction affects two people, not just the man. We've helped thousands of couples get back to normal intimacy in the bedroom. No pills, no injections. And we've seen guys reverse their erectile dysfunction completely.
801-901-8000. And at bare minimum, let's get people in and get them checked out. And you're offering a free assessment. I love that you do that.
Yeah, you want to meet with a medical doctor. The screening will be free, the exam, and that is the first step to see if you're a good fit. Call us now, and there's a bunch of freebies, by the way. The blood flow ultrasound free, a little gift that produces instant results in the bedroom, and free testosterone. So a lot out there for free. Call us now. Put a stop to the erectile dysfunction.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000 right here on the Zone Sports Network.